apologize. We're discussing how we could say that usually, like, if there's a stira, both sides get the truth. That's elementary rules of logic. And we pointed out a more minimalist viewing perspective, which is the Chida's first answer, which is that really, up in Shemayim, one opinion is wrong, one opinion is right. And it just means that for learning purposes, you have to contrast the two opinions. We saw the Shita of Rav Moshe, and what does Eilu Be'Eilu mean? For learning, that up in Shemayim, one opinion is wrong, and one opinion is right, but there's such thing as Emes Lihora, you know, the practical truth of the fact that Hashem wants us to possibly the best we can, and that becomes true for practical purposes. And then we saw the more ambitious formulation of the Ritva, which is really meaning quoting the Bali Tosos, that up in Shemayim, it sounds like Hashem has no opinion, in which case, Mamish, Eilu Ve'Eilu are equally Divrei Elokim Chayim. And we pointed out, I think we left off with Makoros 9 and 10, or at least summarizing, because we'd seen them before in the previous Makoros sheet, that the Chavos Yara points out that, you know, if you think that Hashem picked the mitzvahs and gave them for very specific reasons, then, meaning if you believe in Tamei HaMitzvos, then this is very difficult. Like, how could Hashem have no opinion and just leave it up to Hefker and say, you know, follow these general rules, but really do whatever you want, because I don't really care one way or the other. You would think that there's really something that's better and something that's worse, and that, you know, Hashem should know that up in Shemayim, what's objectively better or worse. And the Drash Aran also points that out, which we didn't read, but we'd seen in our previous Makoros Shita number 10, that, you know, this works well if you hold the no such thing as Tamei HaMitzvos. And the only good thing about the Torah is that, you know, we're thinking of Hashem by obeying Him. Then it makes sense. Hashem says, yeah, I don't care if you do one way or the other way. As long as you think you're obeying the Torah, then you're being being meshabed yourself to Hashem. But if each mitzvah has a specific reason why it's a good thing, and each avera has a specific reason why it's a bad thing, then it becomes a little dochiv to think that Hashem mamash has no preference up in Shemayim. And I'll see that maybe you like it, maybe you won't. Maybe you could say reinterpret the Ritva a little differently. Again, the Ritva is this Bali Tosfos, which is also found some other place in Bali Tosfos. But now I think we're up to number 11. Right, so Rashi is a slightly different perspective. Rashi mentions a total agav orach away the idea of Eilu Ve'Eilu, and maybe we'll see what we can build on that. But if you look at Rashi number 11, it's a very technical context. He's saying, like, it's better for us to think that Amoraim were arguing in Svara than that they were arguing what their Rebbe said. And the reason is pretty obvious, because if Amoraim argue in Svara, that's like natural, people have different Svaras. But if Amoraim argue what the Rebbe said, then, like, one of them wasn't listening properly, so it's like a little more dachuk to assume that. But if you just, we don't have to read through the whole thing. Just go to the end of the sixth line. If they're not arguing what their Rebbe said, right? It's not like they're arguing from Zerim Rebbe Yehuda arguing what Rob said. They're arguing about Din or Isra Beheter. And each one is saying Misvara. My Taina makes sense, and you think your Taina makes sense. And can sheker, then no one's lying. If I say, you know, Rabbi Miller Proskin one way, you say Paskin the other way, then one of us make a mistake. But if I say it's Misvara, this book, do you say Misvara is Usser? We're both right. Why? We're both saying a svara. Mario of time letera, I have a good reason why I'm matter. Mario of time lesura, you have a good reason why you aser. Marmadam milsala milsahachi, marmadam ilimin yanachrina. After all, how does halacha work? Right? If something is mafurish, then you don't have to argue about it. So if it's not mafurish, you have to be madami milsala milsi. You have to see what case in the postgame it's similar to and compare to that. So I, Taka, could have a point that it's comparable to case A, which is aser. You, Taka, could have a point when you say it's comparable to case B that it's mutter. Like, those are both logic, right? We both have logic behind our shitas, right? And both are Divrei Elokim Chayim. Rashi says, why are both Divrei Elokim Chayim? Because they both have a valid svara behind them. And then he adds, Zim the Shai Chai Taima, Zim the Shai Chai Taima, and maybe I'll be right in some cases, maybe you'll be right in other cases. Because the svaras depend on the subtle shifts in circumstances. So how does Rashi explain Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim? Rashi says, we're both right because, like,
I'm right, there really is a svara and a dimayon and an inyan of iser here, then you're right, there really is an inyan of heter here. And what does that mean practically? That means practically that, like, it's somewhere in between, and depending on the subtly different circumstances, maybe sometimes it'll be us or sometimes it'll be mutter. I think Rashi here, Rashi's not, this is a side point in Rashi. He's not giving a lengthy philosophical discourse here, but I think Rashi's taking a slightly different shot at Eilu Be'ilu Jibu L'Kim Chayim here. It's not Eilu Be'ilu Jibu L'Kim Chayim because, like, you have different options and you can pick whatever option you want. Not because, like, there's no preference and none of them are true or they're all equal options. It's because, really, the truth is somewhere in the middle. That, I say it's usher, you say it's mutter. Obviously, if I say it's usher, I have a good svara. If you say it's mutter, you have a good svara. So what if something has a good svara that it's usher, a good svara that it's mutter? Then it's somewhere in between. Because, after all, maybe it's not exactly like anything found in the poskim, and it's some new case which is in between. And lemaisa, it'll be half the time usher, half the time mutter, depending on the circumstances. So the thing Rashi's taking, hinting at here already, is a new derech, which the achronim, the derech that most of the achronim take, in Eilu Be'ilu, which is that really things are more complicated and the truth lies somewhere in the middle. And this is very mefurish, the Maharal, and after that all the other early and late achronim picked up on this. If you look at the Maharal explains, and if it sounds like Rav Kook, it's, maybe partially, yeah.
How's it different than the Ritva?
How's it different than the Ritva? Okay, so the Ritva was saying is that you have different options, right? You can pick whichever option you want. Right? Like, there's no opinion. You can pick whichever option you want. I don't think Rashi, you can pick whichever option you want. What Rashi's saying is that they're both true, because the truth is a composite of both shittas. Now that you can pick whichever option you want. Like, I think what Rashi says is Hashem really does have an opinion. What's Hashem's real opinion? Hashem's real opinion is that you're both right and it's somewhere in the middle. That's different than saying Hashem has no opinion. And we'll see this before Shana Maral. Yeah.
Could you technically follow an irrational option? Even if it doesn't make sense.
No, I think there has to be a certain standard of rationality beyond which it's beyond the pale.
Only Memtet Panam Lakan.
Right, exactly. Only Memtet, right, that's a Shivan Panam Latora. Memtet Panam Lakan, not the 90th. Not the 50th, I mean. The Maral, this might sound a little like Rav Kook. The Maral didn't take it from Rav Kook, obviously partially because Rav Kook was influenced by the Maral, but more so because both Rav Kook and the Maral were influenced by the tradition of the Mekubalim. But he says, V'amar Bali Asupos, Perish, why are they called, the Makar we saw in the Chagiga, they're called Bali Asupos, Perish, Ki Efshu Yadaskam al Derech Echad, it's impossible that all Chacham think the same way, V'efshu Lo'im Chilik V'neim K'finoshim Cholokim B'sichla, the Maral he gives you a sod. Everyone's brain is a little different. There's no way they're all going to have the same opinion. Ki kol davar v'davar, efshu shlo yibichini yos v'achat davar echad. Here he's saying, the world is complex, more kavot, as they say in modern day Hebrew. The world is complex. Everything in the real world, says the Maral, has more than one aspect to it. Sha'af m'davar tami, efshu lo tzad b'chini shal tara shama. Even if something's tami, it must have some aspect of tara. V'chini m'davar tohari, efshu lo yibichini ma'ashal tuma. Even if something tara has some aspect of tuma. Meaning everything in the world is complex. There are shades of gray. Nothing is black and white. Uvneadam chalakim b'seichel. Now people have limited intelligence and have different intelligences. V'efshin kol sich liyadam aderech echad mashi yisbar. And everyone can think the same way, as we'll explain. V'lokach kol echad v'echad mekabo b'china achas k'fi chilek sichlo. He says, look, everything has more than one b'china. All of our minds, we each have our own mind. And everyone's mind thinks in a certain way and notices a certain b'china. There could be something where I notice something about it, you notice something else about it. And we're both right because we think in different ways, right? And for sure, you can see a person and one person will come out and notice what colors the glasses were and the other one didn't. And the other person noticed, what kind of accent they spoke and the first one didn't. I mean, that's a very trivial example because there's not a stira. But that's what the Maharal is saying, that everything has more than one b'chin, and sometimes those b'chinas are the opposite because it's a shade of gray in between Toma and Tara. And I'm inclined to see the Toma in things, and you're inclined to see the Tara in things, right? Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai was inclined to see the Yisur in things, because that was the brain Hashem gave him. And Beis Hillel was inclined to see the Heter in things, that was the brain Hashem gave them. So why do they always argue? Because things are in between. They're gray. They're complex. They have Yisur and Heter in them, right? They're not like ideal, abstract ideas of pure Yisur and pure evil and pure good. In the real world, things are complex. And Beis Shammai Hashem gave him a brain that he always saw the Yisur B'davar. And Beis Hillel got a brain that he always saw, or almost always saw, the Heter B'davar. And that's what he says. Everyone understands certain B'chinah. Al Zekron Bali Asupos. And that's why the Chachmei HaTorah called Bali Asupos. Tonalam Shishma Sufos was learning Torah. They sit in gathered groups and learn Torah. Shafshim Chalak Mesichlam, even though they have different seichels, Mikomakim Yisasim Yachad, they get together. Kasherim Yisasim Yeshmim Kaladeh as Mechalakos. What's the only way to understand the real truth? To get different people, each of us sees a different side of the issue, and put them all together. And after you put them all together, you get the real picture, which is that it's complex and has more than one element to it. And no one person could ever have that, because no one's brain is perfect and can see all the sides of the issue. The Amar Shema Torah and Kain Heichin and Tomer Deata. The Gemara says, if you say, how can I learn Torah? Then Alzamar Kulum Ninimar Echad. It's all from Hashem. Kelech Nasan Parnas Echad Amar Pi Odin Kol Maasim or Beers. Yeah, Hashem is Baruch Hashem Nasan Totally Strong Nasan Kol Dover Dover Torah Kli Maasimu. When Hashem gave the Torah, He gave everything in the Torah the way it was. The Amar. It's not that He said you have different options. For Amar Shadin Zeishbo Bechina Luzchos Yishbo Bechina Lchova. Says this case, if Reuben says this and Shimon says that, has an aspect of plus an aspect of chova. V'din so it's v'hetter yish v'din the bechina lehetter yish kan bechina leiser. Chen kasher apostle yish bechina achas hefach acheres. He said, look, I'm putting you in the real world. The real world is complex. It's shades of gray. Everything has different sides to it. K'mosh ba'olam nimtz adav morka me'afachim tuchalom al eitchim esyachs to lishora mayim chenu em sheishbo na mayim tuchalom sheishbo lishora aver chenu em sheishbo lishora aver. V'lom tzipz adav pashal gamrei. Just like in this world, you find things made up of different elements and complex ways, and nothing is a simple, pure thing. Everything is complicated in this world. You're not going to find anything in the world that's tummy, has no aspect of Tara. If I paskin it's Tahor, and I give a taina and a svar why it's Tahor, I have told you the truth of one aspect of the truth. Everyone's right, because everyone's telling you an authentic half of the story. And of course, the only way to know the whole story is to put all the halves together. Okay, you get the basic point. In the end, he says that, of course, there are different shades of greatness. Because they were 50-50. Many other cases are not on the same level. You know, it doesn't always have to be 50-50. Sometimes one aspect is stronger than the other. But what the Maharal is saying is that what's Hashem's opinion up in Shemayim? That it's complex, and that, you know, each aspect is part of the truth. Not that Hashem has no opinion up in Shemayim. That up in Shemayim, Hashem has a very complex opinion, an infinitely complex opinion. And Hashem says, look out there at the world, and and you want to know what the halacha is in a certain case. He says, well, it's very complex. There's different sides to the issue. There's different sides to the issue. And, you know, there'll be different people out there. Each guy will chop one side of the issue based on the personal properties of his experience and his brain and what he's cut out to do. And then, like, if you put all the opinions together, you'll get the whole truth. So Elu ve'elu is that each daya is half, I mean, love enough to half, of the real truth. But not that each one is an option, like, good enough in and of itself. The world is complex. You have to put everyone together.
The whole fact that everything became complex was only from the Eitz Hadas Tovara. That after that, it became a mixture of Tameh and Tah and Asur and Mutter. And the Torah is just being Mavara from the study of what's considered Mutter and what's considered Asur. But Einat Hanam, they write that the Luchos HaRishonos, the first Torah that was given, would have been Kol HaTorah Kula Shmos V'Shakash Baruch Hu, and wouldn't have the Unim of Tameh and Tar. Only the Luchos HaShniyos went back to the Unim.
Right, yeah, and a Hanami. This is only because only the Luchos Shnius have Torah Shaval Peh Pashtos, right? This is only within our realm of Torah Shaval Peh.
It sounds like it's the exact opposite of Ilul Devil Elkim Chaim, meaning neither one is the
whole truth. They're each half the truth. No, they're each. What do you mean? If I tell you the first half of the pasuk and Eitan tells you the second half of the pasuk, we're not both Devil Elkim Chaim. I say by Dabar Hashem. Doesn't mean anything. You don't know who he talked to. He says Al Moshe Lamor. Doesn't mean anything. You don't know who talked to Moshe. But we're both telling you the real truth, and if you put us together, you'll know what happens.
Yeah, but you could also be a big pessimist and see how each one is totally missing the part of the Elokim.
Aha, so obviously this would have a certain sort of hashkafic nafgamina, which is that, you know, Elu Ve'elu Elokim Chaim only works if people get together and work in unity, and not across purposes, which is exactly why he said that they're called Bali Asupos, right? It only works if you're a Misasfin and a Hanami. You know, that's the famous... Did I have it on the sheet? The famous Aruch HaShulchan. You know what I mean by the famous Aruch HaShulchan? He has a beautiful part in the Hakdama of the Aruch HaShulchan. If you want to find that Hakdama, Everyone looks at the beginning of Or Chaim, it's not there. He had to publish Chosha Mishpat first, so he put the Hakdam in the beginning of Chosha Mishpat. He says, why is the Torah called a Shira? Okay, whether or not the Torah is called a Shira, is, you might know from Lundus, Machlokes at the Rambam and the Shari Shonim. But let's assume that Kis V'lachanas HaShira Zos, the mitzvah say to write a Torah, why is the Torah called a Shira? So he says, why is the Torah called a Shira? He says, what's the difference between Shira? It doesn't sound like a song, it sounds like prose. The difference is, like, if you're marching and you want to say over, like, your sisma or whatever, your cheerleading or whatever, right? If everyone says the same thing together, then, like, it sounds really good, right? But if, like, you're off a little from each other, then no one could hear what you're saying. But he's saying songs are different, right? Can you imagine you went to the orchestra and they all played, like, the exact same sound at the exact same time with each other? It just got really loud, right? So that wouldn't be good music. That would be, like, you know, that would be, like, cheerleaders. That would be like, you know, I don't know, like an army marching. That wouldn't be an orchestra. The beauty of an orchestra is that they harmonize, right? Everyone makes a different sound, but they coordinate with each other, and it comes out to be this beautiful symphony. I'm not so holding, but I think that's how it works. So the orchestra, that's why Torah is called a shir, because everyone is not supposed to have the same opinion. Everyone's supposed to have a slightly different opinion. But if they're all working together, they put it together and make the beauty of the Torah. In economy, it only works if you're working together. If people don't coordinate with each other in the symphony, then you have cacophony, not harmony. But he says that's the nature of the Torah. I just want to read in the Kli Yakar, he says the same thing, 13. Says, doesn't answer the question. So fine, they're all from Hashem, but how am I supposed to learn? Everything has various sides of to be Vatar and to be Vatami. If the Psak is something that it's Tahar, it's not because it's white, it's like ideally Tahar. It's because the aspect of Tara is stronger than the aspect of Toma. Why don't you appoint someone to the Sanhedrin unless he knows how to be matar the sheretz mitar raisa? The time also dover. Why? So you might think it's just he has to be very clever. It's like an intellectual test. He says no. He has to mamish know that even a sheretz has a tzad tara to it. Why? She'im lefam and tzrichim lo rasha. Go back to Rashi. Lifsog negad a term shem eislas l'shem efirat arsecha. Az yoch l'chacham o hanavi l'tzarif l'svaris eislas l'shem. Also, miyot svara shikar nidchum achmas arov v'leilech achra miyot karas eliyo b'har karmel. Right, what does he have to know? He has to know that halach is complex to be in the Sanhedrin. Even a sheretz has a tzad tara. Why? So in cases where there's a tzadim to mitzarev to the tzad tara, like a rasha, he can rely on that tzad tara. What's he saying? Right, he's saying the same thing as Rashi. If everything has more than one side to it, then depending on the circumstances, the psak will be different. If two sides are pretty even, then Rashi says, subtle changes in circumstances will change the psak. If it's like a sheretz min haTorah, which is not very even, it's a very dark gray, but you still have to know that it's complex, because in a harasha, you'll use the other tzad. He's saying that the real halacha is made up like, you know, that contradictions aren't real contradictions, because things are shades of gray, and you only get the truth by putting everyone together. And that's what Rashi meant. Once you know that everything is complex, then the halacha is going to depend on the circumstances, and even a sheretz, which doesn't usually depend on the circumstances, in the case of a rasha, since it's complex, there's what to be somachan to be matarit.
Why do you need to be somachan all this stuff to have a rasha?
That's the chiddush of the Kli Yakar. You're right, that's the chiddush of the Kli Yakar. The chiddush of the Kli Yakar that a rasha is not violating the halacha. Harasha is within the halacha because it had that Sodom aspect to it. After all, if it has some little aspect of Tara, that means that at least once in history it deserves to be Tahar.
So according to him, there are no things that are not considered no Seilat
Diyun. Exactly. Everything's no Seilat Diyun, even Sheretz Ben HaTorah. Not his Kiddush. The Gemara says when you appoint the Sanhedrin, but we might have thought that was just to show how clever he is. He says no, it's to show that everything's no Seilat Diyun. And that's what he... And then he explains a lot of things like that, and he says, just let's do the last three lines. Why do you have to make your ear like a hopper and hear all the different shitas? Why do you have to make life so complex and a tamachachma to know the different shitas? Why can't you just learn ketzer? Because you always need all the svaras, even the ones we don't paskin like. He actually is from the Sanhedrin. You can't be in the Sanhedrin. Obviously, you can be a balabas, but you can't be in the Sanhedrin unless you know all the svaras. We times a royal kama me'am. I feel I'm really being shum small. It's that osan svaras. Okay, and therefore Sanhedrin sometimes say strange things because they rely on the other svaras. I think there's actually Mechtam Eliyahu like this, who gives an interesting muscle for this. I think the Mechmel also, he brings down the Shita, and he says, the mashal, four blind men arguing over, right, over an elephant, what an elephant is. I think this is the Mechmel Yahu. He says, right, there are four blind men who have a big machlokas, right, and they say, what's an elephant? One of them says it's like a wall. One of them says it's like a tree trunk. One of them says it's like a fire hose. And one of them says it's like a rope. So they sit there arguing amongst themselves if they're unsophisticated blind men, right, but really they're not arguing. One of them knows that it's so big that you feel the body, it's like a wall. One of them knows it has legs as thick as a tree trunk. One of them knows it has like a snout that's like a flexible like a hose. One of them knows it has a tail that's like a little string. And if they would realize that they each know part of the elephant, they would get together and try to start to figure out what the elephant looked like. Says, yeah, that's how halacha works. People can sit there and argue because I think I'm right, you think you're right, because we don't know the Gemara in Chagiga about Balei Supos, and we don't know about Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. But really, nobody's right, because we're all blind to a certain extent, because we don't have infinite capabilities, and we only have finite nature and capabilities in our mind. And the answer is, well, if a reasonable, educated Talmud Chacham thinks one way, and another reasonable, educated Talmud Chacham thinks the other way, they must both be part of the truth, and the truth is that it's very complex, and it's some shade of gray. And this is, if you hold this way, and I thought you could bring a raya to this from Makor number 3. Elu ve'elu in drush. What happened in Makor number 3? I think we read this. The machlokes of Yosef Yonason, whether the guy in Pilegesh Begiva kicked out his Pilegesh because he found a zvov or a nima. And what did Elio say? Elu ve'elu dimilogim chayim. They both happened. He got upset because of a zvov and because of a nima. What's the point? The point is that clearly in that Gemara, now that's in a godly context. You don't have to bring a riot from there. But at least in a godly context, the Gemara says, Elu ve'elu means they're both true, and the story had more than one element to it. You think a guy gets angry with his wife, divorces his wife for one reason? Nah, every time a marriage breaks up, there's many reasons in the story there, and if you look at it, you'll see there's many different answers, and no one reason is the full explanation. That's the way the world works. And that's what Rabbeinu Tam also uses in a godly context. In 15, he says that... That Masha Yisei, Rabbi Lezer, Kalir, Begeshim, Shin, Yatzeris, Kurvi Eliezer, Dom Retishri, Nivra Olam, Shal Pesach, Yisei, Kurvi Shua, Dom Kurvi Shua. They ask a steer in the Piyutim, right? Back in the day, they used to take Piyutim seriously. So, how come in the Piyut for Tishrei, the Paskin that the Tishrei Nivra Olam, the Piyut for Nisa, they Paskin that Nisa Nivra Olam, right? So now you say, hey, he was giving a sermon, he wanted each Chag to look important. But no, this is Rabbi Lezer, Kalir, it's a real Shita. So, Amr Ibn Atam, the Eilvel, Jibulakim Chayim, the Eagle Mamed, the Tishrei Old Machshav, Livaros, Vonivrad, Nisan. Right? Says they're both right. Why are they both right? Who says creation has to be a simple process? Maybe it's a complicated process. That first there's Old Machshav, Livaros, without getting into what Old Machshav means. Let's just take Kipshito, Hashem thought to create. Although it also has meanings of Yisod. And then he physically implemented the creation in Nisan. Right? Everything that you think is a simple question, like when did Hashem create the world? No, the answer is he could have created the world in a complex process, and then one step in Tishrei called Olam Machshava, whatever that means, and another step in Nisan. And that's what Eilu Ve'elu means, that the world is complex out there, and what looks like a stira is really not a stira. It's just different sides of the issue and shows you the complexity of the world. Now, no one likes to have a complex world out there, but I think that might be the real emes. That's what all the Achronim pick up on this idea. After you could even go so far as to say, that's really what the Ritva meant. How you talking that up in Shemayim Hashem has no opinion? Nah, hard to imagine up in Shemayim Hashem has no opinion, and Hashem's just leaving it Hefkerfeld. Must mean that up in Shemayim, maybe Hashem told Moshe, look, you could tie it this way, you could tie it that way, it's a very complex case. And then, since it's a very complex case, it might depend on the circumstances. In some circumstances, we write Lahakir, in other circumstances, we write Lasser, and the Chacham of each generation, they'll decide whether in that circumstance is Roy Lahatra or lesser. Not because Hashem has no opinion, because Hashem has a very complex opinion and understands that some things are a shade of gray. And therefore he said, in each door they might have a slightly different answer, Because a shade of gray is sometimes roy less or sometimes roy lahatir.
Isn't it just in Furash in the Rishon when he says that there's for everything there's 49 reasons one way, 49 reasons the other way, and then Chachamim are supposed to see Machriya?
Could be. I'm very happy.
Reasons one way, 49 reasons the other way sounds like the reality that Hashem gave us.
Sounds like it's not that Hashem's leaving it a hefker free fall with no opinion. Sounds like Hashem has a complex opinion. Okay, I'm with you there. We don't have time to read through all of these Makoros now. You can certainly take it home. In 14, the Am Shel Shlomo says, interestingly, he doesn't directly relate to the phrase Elam El Dibukim Chayim, but he explains how, like in Matan Torah and Har Sinai, by which he means not just sort of the physical aspect of, you know, however many 603,550 people above, you know, men above the age of 20 were in the desert in a certain place 100 years ago, but he means like the neshamas of all the Jews were at Har Sinai in a spiritual sense. And he says, you know, each person got the revelation of Har Sinai through their own sinoros, and each person got their own different take on the Torah and revelation. That's how he understands the way he doesn't mean physically they heard different words. Menochi Hashem, he means the spiritual level that all of our neshamas and the people not born yet also were at Har Sinai, and they all got the revelation in a... they all got them out in Torah and Har Sinai, in Torah Shabbat Sav and Torah Shabbat Ben, in a more spiritual sense. He says everyone got through their own Sinor, like everyone has their own chelik in Torah. And then it makes sense, the Elu ve'Elu. Everyone has their own chelik in Torah, everyone has their own perspective. What's the real truth? The real truth is that Hashem is beyond our petty machlokos, and that they're each a piece of this, and you have to put it together. Again, that sounds very much like Rav Kook. I don't mean Rav Kook like the... that he liked Zionism or other political viewpoints that are very famous. I mean, the Ashkaf Yisod of Rav Kook, is that there's really no such thing as a stira in the world, and that all stiras are only, they look like stiras to us because we're looking at it from a very low level, from the high level of Hashem. There are no stiras, they're just different sides of the truth. And, you know, if you go up a level, you'll see that what you thought was a stira wasn't a stira, and you'll have new stiras. And theoretically, from the level of Hashem, there's no such thing as stira because they're all just part of the truth. And they just look like stiras because we think too simplistically. I mean, this is, you know, the Rav Kook was, I think, merely saying what many, many achronim, and maybe Pashas, the Rick and Bali Tolstoy, are saying about Elu ve'Elu.
It gets very hard to say now that something is michutz latchum.
Aha, so let me come back to that in one moment. Before I get back to Yomi's point, one of the very fascinating nafkamines, we take this Maral's version of Elu ve'Elu, is that it changes the way we look at the whole history of halacha. Basically, if you look at the whole, you know, I don't mean history of halacha, like from before we had books, like what happened in the days of Yoshua and, and Osniel ben Knaz and David and Shaul. I mean, like, from what we see from Shas and onwards, that, you know, we see exactly the hitlab tuyot of each generation. What happens? You have one generation passing one way, then they change their mind and passing another way, then they change their mind back and passing, you know, the first way. You have... it's like, it's a machlokus rishonim, so it's like, okay, you know, mutte machmer tovel of bracha, or, you know, bal nefesh yachmir, or, you know, b'makom, you know, nog and lesser, avol makom hefsin meruba, you know, yesh lismok al da'as ha-matirin, etc. How do you look at this whole history of halacha, you know, from Shas and onwards, that we have very clear records? So one way of looking at it is, there's a truth up there in Shemayim. We're trying to get to it, and you know, we keep changing our minds about the truth, and we keep guessing and hedging our bets, and we're not sure. And basically, like, this is all one big suffix which gets more and more unclear as the generations go by. And that's, I think, the way people are taught to look at it in kindergarten, etc. But I think based on the Maharal, Elu ve'Elu, you have the opposite way of looking at it. Adraba! You get more and more emes as the generations go by. Why is it that they pass in one way, and then in another door, in another country, they pass in the other way? You know, why is it that in one country they pask in one way, in another country they pask in the other way? Nah, it's not because, like, they're all stabbing in the dark and one was prejudiced by something in their culture that made them see one way, the other one was prejudiced by something else. It's because, really, the halacha is complex and it depends on the circumstances, and the real truth is that it's somewhere in the middle, and in one country their circumstances were such that it was right to be so much on the Tzad HaMekel. The other country, their circumstances were different, and it was ready to be somech on the machmirim. And why do we end up in halacha? We open the Shulchan Aruch, and there's no answers to anything. You know, it's yeshnogin, yeshnogin, machmir tovol bracha, bal nefesh yachmir, bal mehefsh from mekilin. Maybe that's not all like one, you know, descending deeper and deeper into the pit of ignorance over the generations. Adraba, it's because over the generations we can put together the Bali Asupos and see all the different deos, and it turns out that things are very complex. And hundreds of years later, depending on how many deos are on each side and how strong their tainas are, a lot of things will be a shade of gray, and some things will be a very light gray. And mutter, and you know, v'makim sheish minag last, or they should keep their minag, or mutter al nefesh yachmer, or a slightly darker shade of gray. You know, a machmer tovel a bracha, make a little hifsid, or a you know medium shade of gray. You know, v'yesh lismoch a makil makim hefsid meruba. Maybe all these psukim are not just evidence of more and more ignorance and stabbing in the dark and trying to guess what we don't know, but evidence of more and more truth being concluded, and that we really see over the generations the complexity emerges, and you put together the shitas, and you get to a complex psak, like Rashi says, elu ve'elu, and the actual psak will depend on the subtle shifts in circumstance. And this is a, you know, that's also like, you know, some of the historians will say, oh, well, you know, Rabbi Tam was making on this because that was like the economic reality of his time, so he had a different sheet of the Rambam because he was conforming to the needs of his time. So that sounds like a very, like, low way of looking at the halachic process. Maybe the answer is no, that's not a kfir de historicist way of looking at the halachic process. Really, it's borrowed that there are different studim. And Hashem meant it to have different studim, it's a shade of gray. And obviously Hashem meant that in societies there was more of a need to be mako, the people would naturally see the tzadakula, and that was when it was supposed to be mutter. In societies where there wasn't a need to be mako, they would naturally see the tzadamachmir, and that would be a case where it's roi lahachmi. And really, Hashem just built this very, very cleverly designed system, dynamic system, where the historicists will say, ah, look, they're just influenced by this, influenced by that, they don't know what they're doing. No, really, Hashem built a system that everyone in their time and place would be able to see the aspect that was relevant to them and that come to different conclusions, because it's really complex, and it was roi to come to different conclusions. And this is, I think, a yesod for understanding, you know, the whole history of the halachic process.
What's stopping us from going back to the study that came out in times of the Gemara, which were rejected? Why can we?
So one of the big nafkaminas is going back to rejected sides. What do you do with rejected sides? So the truth is the Toshans Adios, which I don't have here, says in the nafkamina available is that sometimes you have to go back to rejected sides. Now you get the practical question of who should go back to rejected sides and when should you go back to rejected sides? And, you know, and that's also what the Kli Yakar is saying. But Malkamor HaShoah, you have to go back to rejected sides. And that's what the Shor Ramasa, the 16 that we don't have time to read now, says you might not go back to every rejected side, but you'll still end up being makel on the details because you see it's not so bad, and so on some of the borderline details you can be makel because that rejected side. So maybe that's a technical question. When can we and can't we go back to rejected sides? Look, you know, the Gra was rejected by the later Rishonim in terms of, the Gra, when Bein HaShemashos is, right? The Gaonim were rejected by the later Rishonim in favor of Bein HaTam, and then the world changed, and the Gaonim, Bein HaTam was rejected in favor of the Gaonim. They went back to rejected side. So that's a valid question, but, okay, let me just point out, here we don't have much time left, and I'm getting a little, all right, I'd like to read these Rav Kooks with us. How many people here have understanding of Rav Kook on a decent level? On a basic level. Okay, you know what? I have a page of Rav Kook left. It's kedai to spend some more time understanding where Rav Kook is coming from, even if it's veering a little from our original Kavanah. So maybe we'll leave your question for next time, and we'll come back and look at the last page here of Rav Kook, and we can start with some more Rav Kooks, and see a little how this whole hashkafa is relevant to understanding the philosophy of Rav Kook, and where he's coming from, and, you know, achieve a more accurate understanding of Rav Kook's hashkafa.
Well, what about those guys like in the Sefer Zanita?